Well, I was planning on finishing this series up last week, but we had some different things go on. So I think we'll be done this week, but you know, we never say we absolutely will. We'll just see where we go. But we've been talking about just walking out the plan of God in our life, but specifically, you know, all those messages are on the web, so we don't have to rehash everything, but that we all have probably things that we know could be changed in our life. If we don't, we probably are deceived in some way or deluded in some way, or we really, really far, which we could be, I suppose. But anyway, we have things that we know should be changed, but it's how do we get those things accomplished? And we've just been talking about how it's God. God started a work in each of us. When we got born again, and He saw it before we ever were born again, He had plans for us. He sees things. He's given us gifts. And He's going to work that out for the rest of our lives on this earth. And we are going someplace. And this is not it. This is just the beginning. We're going to live for eternity in heaven, and we don't know what all that entails. But this life is very short. And there are rewards in heaven for what we do on this earth, though. Now, don't ever get these two mixed up. Somebody said this when I was at Rhema. Don't ever get who you are in Christ and what Jesus has done for you mixed up with the rewards that would take place for what you do once you're a Christian. In other words, you as a child of God have benefits. You're in the family. Healing is not something you have to do a good job to get healed, to have all your needs met, to have a peaceful life. If you ever get those things messed up to where you think you have to work to earn the things that are yours by right, you get those flipped around, you're going to be in a world of hurt because you're going to think you have to work or it's based on your performance, how much you get from God. If I haven't been good, I won't get healed. If I haven't been good, He might not answer my prayer. No, those come as a right because of what Jesus sacrificed. He bought those. You can't add anything to that, period. So He bought it for us. It doesn't do any good to think that we can, you know, add our buck or two more. Not going to help. But He has purchased all those things for us. But what you do in your body with that, He's given you, He has a plan for each of us. He has something for us to do. He's given you all these things. Now, what you do with that, the Bible talks about that there are rewards in heaven. You know, we're going to throw our crowns at His feet anyway. But there are rewards. It does make a difference what we do on this earth. It's not to, again, earn anything, but it's because of what He's given that we say, God, You have done so much. You have made it me right to be able to stand righteously in the presence of Almighty God because of what You did. Because You are just to do that because of Jesus' sacrifice. Now I want to do, what is it, King, You would want me to do? King, what do You want me to do? I'm at Your service. And then what you do? The King's going to reward you in heaven. I mean, we've all seen movies. You name any number of them. We're at the end of the movie. Somebody has done something. Even when it didn't look like things were going to go right, they put themselves out for the cause, and at the end, they're honored. They're in front of everybody, and everybody's looking at them. It didn't look like they were doing anything that needed honor, but the King or the person in charge honors them. Have you ever seen anything like that? Put a gold medallion around their neck or something? God Almighty is the King, and there will be those days. That's not why we do it. We do it for Him, but it will come. I don't know what all that's going to look like, but the Bible talks about, and that's not where exactly I'm going today, but there are those rewards. But what we do is important, and how we do it is important. If we do what we want to do, and it looks like people think, you're really going someplace, you're really doing something, but it's the wrong thing, and it's not what the King asked us to do, it means nothing. And we could see that really well in the natural. If a king or a president or a commander asks a person to be in a certain place, but they decide, oh, I really want to go over to this area and fight a battle, and they're in the wrong place, that general would not be happy. Because you're not doing what you should be doing. You're not helping the cause if he's trying to orchestrate this push or this front over here and you're over here and you might look real good, but you're in the wrong place. That would not help. We can see that very clearly. But us as Christians, so many times we make it about our ministry or what we want to do or what makes us feel good instead of what he is telling us to do. It does not matter what we think we should do. It matters what he wants us to do. Period. I'm not saying he's a hard taskmaster, but he is the king. And so we all have a place. A place. A place that he wants us in. And it doesn't overlap with anybody else's place. Do you realize that? He's got a unique place for us. We don't have to try to take somebody else's place. We don't have to try to do what somebody else is doing. We just need to take our place. The place that the king ordained for us. You realize nobody can take that from you? If God puts you in a place, nobody can say, well, that's my place. Can't do it. They can try. They can try to step in. They can try to do something. But the fact is the king puts you there. Who's going to take you out of it? But our thing is we want to find that place. We want to be faithful to him and find that place. And it's just about following him, going step by step, following the leading of the Holy Spirit and getting in the place that he wants us. And so we've talked about, you know, how it's not our strength. And we've said some things today in the service already. It's not our strength. It's his strength. See, he will give you his strength to do what he calls you to do. But if you decide to do what you want to do, you're going to do it in your strength. If you guys decide to go on your own mission, it's not funded by him. He's funding his mission, what he would call you to do. Now, is he going to cut you off? No. Again, two different things. You're in the family of God. You have rights and privileges. On the other hand, if you're on the family of God and you're supposed to be halfway across the world, and you're somewhere else, the real blessing is where God's called you. We've talked about that before, a place called there. Thank you, Lord. So God will help us to do what we're called to do or help us to work out the things in our lives. And those are the things we talk about. We've talked about. The thing I want to focus on is taking that specific place. Yes, he'll work out the things, the changes in your life. It all goes together. God is working out things in our life, and he will help us to do that. He's faithful to do that. If we give him, we just need to give him our lives, give him areas, he'll be faithful to work it out. Not in our strength, not in our 12-step plan, not in what we do, but we'll give it to him, and he'll take it, and he'll make something magnificent. But it all goes together. Him working those things out is not working them out, so then you can go be CEO over here when he hasn't called you to do that. That's not why he's doing it. He's working them out so that you can walk where he would have you to go. He's a faithful and good and just king. But he has purposes. He does not raise one. Can you imagine? He's not going to raise somebody up, do something in some of your life so you can go and live for the devil. That'd be the extreme. We'd say, oh, we never live for the devil. On the other hand, if we get out of our place, we can unknowingly be working and helping the devil. Because if you're getting in the middle of something, God's orchestrating something over here, and you decide that's where I want to be, but it's not where he's called you, you get in the middle of it, you start mucking it up. Who are you helping? His side or the enemy's side? So we want to be, he's it all goes together. The flow of God is going to be in the direction that he has called us to. We are going to be equipped for what he's called us to do. And so we want to know what that place is and take that place. That should be one of our top concerns in life. I've said this many times, but in this country and in other countries, but you know, we say, we tell this to our children, you have so much opportunity in this country. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you set your mind to. You know, that's I understand the concept. I understand it's better to have a positive mindset than a negative, but the truth is, what we should be telling our kids is you can do whatever God tells you to do. You find out what he wants you to do, and you do that. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do that. It may not look like you can do it, but if God told you to do it, by golly, you can do it. It's not what they can dream up. God's already got the best plan anyway. You can't think of a better plan than He already has. He has the best plan that's going to be the most efficient use of your resources, of the giftings, the callings that He's placed in each of us. If we'll just find that plan, you can already take it to the bank. That is the best possible thing for you to do. Now, it may not look like it all the time, but how many of you know? How many of you have heard stories where somebody is doing something in the natural? I mean, it's called the montage when you watch a movie and you get to the montage where, like Rocky, they start playing music in the background and they're training or they're showing the guy doing something over and over and they're working. How many things have you seen where you get to the montage and the person is working real hard to accomplish something? It doesn't look like they're there, but they work and then they get somewhere. Well, it may not always look like we find out what God calls us to do and we say, oh my goodness, really? Are you kidding me? Well, that doesn't change the fact that He's called us. Either He's called us or not, but He knows the end. He sees the end from the beginning. So we just want to find that place. Let's read the first scripture. It's a long introduction. Philippians 1:3. Well, this is the scripture we've read every single time. We'll just read this and then go on. We may not get very far today. We may have to finish this next week. But that's okay. We'll just go with God. We're not trying to pound out a series in a certain amount of sessions or anything like that. Philippians 1, verse 3. Let's read this shortly. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll complete it. He started it, He'll finish it. Sometimes we want to say, oh, you started it? Okay, I see it, God. I know where I'm going. All right, thanks for the direction. I'm off. No, He'll complete it. We look to Him. He's going to be there every step of the way. Let's read these next several verses. Are all kind of along the same line. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. It's His will. We want to take our place for Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. That's our aim. To be well-pleasing to Him. Not to our neighbor. Not to our mother and father. I'm not saying our mother and father don't have input into our lives. But we get our calling of God from Him. We don't do something to please other people, in other words. Not our friends. Not our teachers. All those people, if they're godly and led by the Holy Ghost, can encourage us. But we do things based on what God has told us. And if we have godly parents, those two will line up. And I will say this. If something differs between what our parents say or somebody very influential in our life and what we believe God is saying, I would listen and make sure that if it's different, if what the person that we trust or have trusted is saying is different than our parents, you ought to listen. Because that may mean you missed it. And you may look at it a second. Don't take that lightly. But, on the other hand, if you still believe it's God and you're old enough to make your own decisions, then sometimes family can be the people that hold us back. And so we just have to discern by God. We just have to be led by Him. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now this is not what it's talking about in Revelation, the great white throne of God, where people are basically, we're seeing if they're in the book of life or not. This is not that. That's based on Jesus. This is not. This is what I was talking about. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's real. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciousness. I guess that's not in your sheet. But the second verse, or verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, we could preach this hard, or we could say it the way I believe the Bible said it. He's not saying, well, you better get your act together, better do everything to please him. No, that's what Jesus did, is to make us right before him. But given that, if you look at it, this pattern over and over in the epistles is because of what Jesus did, now behave like this. It's never because, you know, you do all this so that you earn a place with God. It's over and over. If you look, he'll tell you who you are in Christ, Paul, if he's writing the epistle, and then he'll say, now, because of who you are, now act like this. Now lay down these things. Because why? Because you're a king's child. And so you can look at this and go, yeah, you better get your act together, better get it done. No, it goes back to him helping us. And that's why I believe it's being said, is that he's helping us. He's going to complete the work, but our part is to yield to him and to do what he would have us to do. There is that. If I were to stand up and say, you know what? God's done it all. Live however you want. It doesn't matter. That's an extreme, and that's error, because it does matter. And lives hang in the balance because of it. It's true. If we were to say, you know what? If you sit at home and do nothing, you'll get everything will just, the blessings will flow in your life just as much as if you were right in the middle of God's plan. It's not true. It's not true. Now, will God work with you right where you are? Yeah, if I were to set up and say, hey, this is what you need to do in order to be successful. Now I've just put a method that's not in the Bible to success, and that's wrong too. But there's a balance in between the two. Just because we need to do something doesn't mean that's works. Doesn't mean that's law. Doesn't mean that's bondage. No. That means we're using our freedom in Christ to do what he would have us to do. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches, is that he's done all these things for us. He set us free, and we are free to use then our liberty to go after everything he has done for, to go after what he has called us to. 2 Corinthians 5:14, just a few chapter or a few verses down. So he says, for the love of Christ compels us. He just got done saying, you know, if we whatever we do, we're doing it for you, not for us. He says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. See, not for yourself. I say we better get everything that is selfish out of our life tomorrow. No. We are all at different stages. We see different things. As God shows us, as he helps us, those things will fall away. I've seen it in my own life. As we look to him, the things that are selfish, that are desires and not his, will go away. They will fall away. But we are not to live anymore for ourselves. He died for us in verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's our job description. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 says, but we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. See, Paul's making a case here, and he's saying, you know, we didn't do this of our own accord. We have been entrusted by God to do what we're doing. Let's read it again. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, we've all been given a ministry. We've all been given the gospel, and we all reach certain people. You know people that I don't know, and vice versa. We've all been entrusted with the gospel. So when we take that, we don't do what we do in life to please people, and that's very tempting. even within people that call themselves Christians, it's very tempting to do what you think other people would think is a good idea to do. You see it all the time. People get into a ministry because somebody else is in it. People run their church a certain way because somebody else is doing it. That's not what God called us to do. He called us to know Him enough to do what He's called us to do, not to please men, but to please Him, because eventually we're going to stand before Him. And you know what? I'm not painting Jesus as a hard person. He's not. But it won't be an excuse to say other people thought I should do this. It won't be. He's not hard on us, but it won't be. It's our opportunity to go to Him and to find out what it is, and then He'll give us the strength to do it. And if we're having a hard time with other people, we just give that over to Him too, and He'll work that out. He'll make us strong. He'll make us brave. He'll show us the way to do what He's called us to do. He is so good and so faithful. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. See, they were entrusted with this. Nobody could take it away from them. Paul knows who called him. It was God. He's been entrusted with something. Each of us has been entrusted with a job. To be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests the hearts. We want to be where God called us to be, and He knows what's in our heart, and He knows where He called us. And you know, I think it was in Billy Graham, I think it was in a book of his, he said, you know, of course, everybody in here knows who Billy Graham is, and people that aren't Christians know who Billy Graham is. And he has done a lot for the kingdom of God, but he said his biggest concern was, he's done all this, and if he were supposed to be a plumber or something, then he said, I missed it completely. It doesn't matter what I've done. If God called me to do something else, I've missed it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how many thousands of people got saved through my ministry if it was the wrong thing. God looks on the heart. God calls us according to what He knows He's going to do with us. It doesn't matter what it looks like to other people. We need to shut that out and say, God, what are you? I don't care what this person says. I don't care what this pressure is. I don't care what this background is. God, what is it? And then He'll bring us along. He's faithful and just to do that. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 41:10. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." He's speaking to Israel. But we can apply this to us. You know, we're children of Abraham through Jesus. That's the same sentiment God has towards us. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, I broke this down one time, and you know, God was speaking to me about some things that we had before us, and I was looking at this verse, and I was actually looking at it. I was looking at some healing scriptures, and this one was on it, but I just stopped there. I'll just tell you what God was speaking to me, you know, and it applies to each of us. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And just on that verse, "Fear not, for I am with you." I, God Almighty, that King, this is the way it was just, you know, made so real to me. He's with me. Just like He was with Paul. Just like He was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. He's with me. He is with me. God Almighty, the one that created the heaven, is with me. He said, "Fear not, for I am with you." The King of the heavens is with you. Not off somewhere, not just with some people, but with you. If you're a child of God, He's with you. That's amazing right there. We could stop right there. But He said, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And think of this in the context of what we're talking about, of when we look at it, of what God would call us to do. And that was in the context that He was speaking to me. look at this verse in the context of God is, when we're talking about today, taking your place. God is speaking to you, don't fear, because I'm with you. If I'm calling you to do it, then I'm there with you. I, the King of the universe, am with you. These other people that you read about, I was with David when he killed that bear. I was with David when he killed that lion. I was the one with David who helped him to kill the giant. David did not kill the giant. He killed the giant in the strength of God Almighty. It's a big difference. And I, the God is speaking to you, the King of the universe, am with you in the same way. If I called David to go do that, I said, you go out and kill that giant. Nobody else, all other Israelites that were children of Abraham, they did not want to do it. Saul himself, the king, was too afraid to do it. But here a 17-year-old, we talked about this several weeks ago, the 17-year-old boy says, who is this guy? By the Spirit of God, I'll take your head off. In himself, he'd get creamed. Well, you may think, if I do what God has called me to do, I'm going to get creamed. Number one, don't fear. God is with you. That changes the whole ballgame right there. You and God can rout any army on the face of the earth. Period. Because like we had that in the pre-time, he is victory. He does not know defeat. Period. God has never, ever, ever been defeated. Ever. Ever. He's not 450,000,001. He's not 450,000,001. He's infinite and zero. Perfect record. Never. No one has ever come against him and won. Period. And he's on out my time, my team. Okay. It should be, if we were thinking at all clearly, it'd say, game over. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Let's go do it. But that's not what happens, because we start looking at the circumstance and we say, are you sure? But if we really break it down. Somebody said this at Rhema. He said, God is infinitely logical. Think about it. He, the one that created the universe, the master engineer, logical to a T. He is perfectly logical. If we knew what God knew, we would see the logic in what he tells us to do. The problem is, we don't see as he sees. He sees up here and says, yeah, you go do this. He sees exactly, this is the perfect way. This is the battle plan. Can't fail. Go do this. Perfectly logical. But we see nothing in between. All we see is go do this. And we're like, you don't see all the in-between steps? And you're like, yeah, are you sure? Are you kidding me? And we think, and so then people say, oh, you're walking by faith. But that means, what faith means a lot of times to people is, well, you don't really have any reason to do it, but you kind of, you believe God. So it's like it takes all the mind out. If you're in faith, you're not thinking. See, that just, that means that God's not thinking. That's not true. It means you don't know everything. It means we don't know everything. So we are in faith because we don't know what he knows. But he, if we knew what he knew, we'd say, oh, no brainer. This isn't faith. I know. This is, no way this can fail. So we would go with him. And if we thought like that, so he is infinitely logical. If we'll just look to him and trust him, can't lose. Can't. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'm your God. Just like I was Abraham's God, just like I was Jacob's God, just like I was the God of Paul, I'm your God. We need to make sure he's our God. I will strengthen you. So if we don't feel like we can do it today, he'll strengthen us. I'll strengthen you. I'll get you to that place. David didn't step out and fought and face Goliath day one. He had some practice. He faced a lion, which, I mean, I think you need some more practice to get to the lion and the bear. You know, throw me a dog or something before that. Maybe he did. But, you know, jump up to the lion. That seems like that's pretty good to me. I don't want to face a lion. But he had some practice before he faced this 10-foot guy, warrior. God will strengthen you. Don't worry about it. He ain't going to tell you what's all the way down there because you'd probably freak out. Just go to the next step and say, he's going to strengthen me. If he's calling me to do that, he'll get me there. And that's what so many people do that I've seen in myself are tempted. We're all tempted. Is we see what God is telling us to do. And number one, we may say, how in the heck am I going to get there? And number two, if I have to get there, well, I better get moving. We try to do it in our own strength. Either way, That's not what God's telling us. He's saying, I'm telling you to go there now. Back up. What am I telling you to do now? And do that. Don't worry about it. He'll strengthen me. He'll get me. He'll work it up. He'll get my muscles to where I need to be, to where when I hit that thing, I'm there. I'm ready. He'll strengthen me. Now think of this in the context of what he's telling us to do. He'll strengthen me to do it. Yes, I will help you. So many times, okay, we can think, okay, God told me to do this. I better get going. All right, here I go. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. No, he'll help us. He'll help us to do it. He'll show us. He'll help. Okay, here's what you do. Just like a good daddy would do to a good child. Okay, here's what you do. Step A. And so he'll be with us. And then finally, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'll get you going in the right direction. I'll strengthen you. So just read that. I'll fear not. Number one, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. So he's telling you to do something. Number three, I will strengthen you to do it. I will help you to do it along the way. And number five, I'll uphold you with my right hand as you're going. In other words, if you look to me, I'm not going to let you fall. I'll uphold you, like Shelley was saying, before in the ministry time. I'll carry you if I have to. I'll do what I need to do. Hallelujah. I'll do what I need to do. I'll help you. I'll get you there. In other words, take your eyes off yourself. Don't worry about it. If I'm telling you to do it, I'll get you there in every way, in every shape. I'm not going to get you going and forget you. I'm not going to wait and then come in. I'm there every step of the way. Hallelujah. And if we'll just take our place, if we'll just not worry about all that stuff, shut our brain off because that's not our job. You know, people say that. In corporations and military. If you're down here, not your job to think. Not your job. These guys' job to think. Your job, just do what we're supposed to do. That's the way we should have it with God. Look, I don't understand it, but that's not, I don't have to. I don't have to understand it. My job is to be obedient. My job is to just be here. Show up. Warm body. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to follow you, and he'll get us there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.